You think I'd do it faster with the suit on instead of the robe? I'm not sure. Please hear the word of the Lord as it is given to us in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. While we were yet helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Why, one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man one will dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of the Lord, and can be trusted. Verses 3 through 5 there are very well known. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And I'm sure that right about now we are all relating to the suffering and the endurance of sheltering in place. And I know we are all hoping for that time when we can have some freedom. My mom had to go to the doctor's office this week, and, you know, they go through that screening process now. And so they asked her the question, have you been out of the country? My mom says, I haven't even been out of the house. We're all looking forward to an opportunity to get out. Today, though, I want to focus on the second part of our passage. But first, we're going to stop and do a little pop quiz. I know you just love these ideas that I have. It's just a quick test. We've done it before. I'm sure you'll do just fine. It's a mass confession. This is where you're going to raise your hand. Now, instead of doing it in the sanctuary with the congregation looking, you get to do it right where you're at. And so, here we go. If you have ever cheated on a test, flunked a test, or failed to study for a test, could you please just raise your hand? If you have ever been cut from a team, cut from a squad, or lost a game, could you please just raise your hand? If you have ever lied to a boss, lied to a client, lied to a friend, lied to a teacher, lied to a parent, lied to a child, or even lied to yourself, could you please just raise your hand? If you have ever failed to come to a full and complete stop, exceeded the posted speed limit, cussed in traffic, used a finger salute, or lost your patience with a three-year-old, could you please just raise your hand? Welcome to the Failure Club. A lot of people are in denial. A lot of people are going to be in hell saying, it's not hot and I'm not here. But the truth is that we have all failed. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. But verse 8 reminds us that while we were yet sinners, God gave us grace. Sin is a spiritual force that tries to separate us from God, tries to separate us from one another. Some of you remember that a number of years ago, I was working at the Lake Worth Beach on Ocean Rescue as a lifeguard, and you're up there in the stands, and I always would love this question. Sometimes a tourist would come by, and they would ask you, are there sharks out there? I would love that question, and I would just go, that's where they live, ma'am. That's where they live. And they're shocked. They don't expect to hear that answer. I go, oh, really? Really? I go, yeah. Well, do you come in and get us? And then I would say, do I look like Tarzan? No. My job is to go out here on the stand and blow my whistle and warn you that there's a shark out there. I share that with you just to help understand that Do you remember Cain and Abel, the story of Cain and Abel there in chapter 4? God tries to warn Cain, not about sharks, but about sin. He tells Cain, sin is lurking, it's crouching at your door. It wants to devour you. And of course, unfortunately, Cain's failure had terrible consequences. We carry this disease called sin. And the only way to get cured is to get God's grace. And once we get it, we share it. See, we fill our lives with grace. And then it's like an overfilled cup. That grace just spills out. If we can share God's grace with enough people, then eventually the world will become a graceful place. It's a different kind of herd immunity. Today we can look around and we see a serious lack of grace and an overabundance of sin. Sin is anti-love, anti-justice, anti-kindness. Sin hides. It crouches. It wants to devour us. It will try to convince us that we don't have it. Because the truth of the matter is, it has us. Sin is not just a compartment, it's a condition of our lives. Have you ever had a waffle and the one little corner might be burnt? You can just cut out that little burnt spot. You can just take that out. But if you have spaghetti and a noodle gets burnt, well, now the whole plate is ruined. That noodle is connected to all the other noodles. Sin is like that. It connects to everything else in our lives. Sin is like smoke. When Diana and I were first married, she smoked just a couple cigarettes, but she would smoke. And I can't stand the smell of smoke. I hate the smell of smoke. And so the agreement was that if she was going to smoke, she had to do it outside. She could not smoke in the car, could not smoke in the apartment. She had to stand outside and smoke. And then when she did come into the apartment, we lived on the second floor. When she came into the apartment, she would have to go immediately into the shower, take a shower, wash her hair, and then get her clothes, go all the way down into the basement, and drop them off by the washing machine. I can't stand. You know how smoke just permeates everything. It just, sin permeates through everything. It's terrible. Sin tries to hide, but sometimes it gets caught. It gets caught on video. Like Will Smith said recently, racism isn't getting worse, it's getting filmed. But God's grace overcomes sin. It reminds us that all people are God's children, regardless of race, ethnicity, gender identity, or sexual orientation, whether their name is Greg Lloyd or Matthew Shepard. God's grace reminds us that all people are God's children, regardless of age or height or weight or intelligence or appearance or wealth. God's grace is the way we combat sin, the way we overcome sin. That's how things change. We cannot win this battle with sin without Jesus. We've got to get aligned with Jesus, be with Jesus, and be aware of what Jesus is saying to us. Out of the brokenness of our lives, God brings us hope and healing and grace. How do we know this? Because we see the cross. That's our symbol. Because out of that pain and suffering of the cross, out of the darkness and death and despair of the weight in the tomb, came the joy and freedom of resurrection. Caterpillars can't fly, but they were born to fly. Now, how does that work? It's that third grade science word we learned. Do you remember? Metamorphosis. When the caterpillar changes into a butterfly, it becomes what God always intended for it to be. Metamorphosis just reveals what was there in the genes of the caterpillar. God's grace reveals the person God created us to be. Yes, we are sinners, but we have hope Because our hope is not in our achievements, but in the grace and in the love of God given to us in Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to thank you very much for your continued generosity, your continued faithfulness in sharing your financial gifts to the church, as well as your commitment to trying to care for each other through phones and texts and emails. But at this time, I'd like to just be able to lift up our offerings and thank you for your gifts. Let us pray. Lord our God, we do thank you very much that no matter what is going on in the world, no matter what is even going on in our lives, you continue to present yourself to us and give to us, entrust to us, opportunities to give and to show our love for you through our gifts. We ask, Lord, now your blessings upon these gifts as we offer them up to you. Multiply them, Lord, in a way that allows us to continue to reach out to others with your love and grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I don't know how it's been going for you at your place, but at our home, I've been indulging extremely heavily in comfort food. This is not a good thing, but I've been doing it. I've been doing it, and it's got consequences to it. But here at this table, there's a different type of comfort food, and it has consequences as well. That when we take the bread and when we take the cup, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are comforted, we are changed, we are transformed. And so we do now take these comfort foods of the communion. For on the night when the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Lord our God, as we prepare to receive these emblems of Jesus' body and blood, emblems of your love and grace, we pray that you would comfort us with your presence, reminding us that you are always with us, reminding us that you will always sustain us, remind us that you have indeed provided for us all that we need. That as we receive this grace, our sins are forgiven. As we receive this grace, we are strengthened for the journey of discipleship that you have laid before us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. So we come now to our opportunity. This is the invitation that we give at the end of all of our worship services so that those who are watching us online and you've not yet made a confession of faith, this is your opportunity to receive the grace God wants you to have. He gives it to you. You don't have to earn it. It comes to you free of charge. All you do is answer these questions. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And have you accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior? And for those of you who have already made that affirmation, I'm going to ask you the questions again. But this time remembering that Jesus not only saves us from our sins, he is Lord of our lives. And so let me ask you, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And have you accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior? God bless you. Amen.